Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
And a warm welcome to DW's Africa Link program, live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And my name is Eunice Wanjiru. Remember, we are also live on Facebook and we welcome all your comments.
On the program today, mixed reactions in Kenya after President Uhuru Kenyatta and opposition leader Raila Odinga commit themselves to work together after the deep division threatened to tear the country apart.
The merger between Raila and Uhuru Kenyatta, that was the best thing that happens to the entire Kenya.
Concerning this issue, Raila Amolo Odinga has disappointed us, supporters of NASA.
And U.S. President Donald Trump has fired Secretary of State Rex Tillerson shortly after he returned from his tour in Africa.
As far as Rex Tillerson is concerned, I very much appreciate his commitment and his service. And I wish him well. He's a good man. Rex and I have been talking about this for a long time.
Another story of the day. Pope Francis has marked 5 years as the head of the Catholic Church. He's being praised for making sweeping reforms within the Vatican.
These are just some of the stories that we've lined up for you, but here's a chance to listen to what's been happening around the world.
I'm Shay Meineke with DW News. U.S. President Donald Trump has ousted U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson on Tuesday, replacing him with CIA Chief Mike Pompeo. Trump broke the news on his personal Twitter account, thanking Tillerson for his fantastic service to the nation. Trump addressed the media after the sacking.
I think Mike Pompeo will be a truly great Secretary of State. I have total confidence in him. And as far as Rex Tillerson is concerned, I very much appreciate his commitment and his service, and I wish him well.
Gina Haspel is to replace Pompeo at the intelligence agency. She becomes the first woman to hold the position. The European Union has offered Britain solidarity after London accused Russia of using a Soviet Union-era nerve agent on a former Russian double agent and his daughter. The EU's announcement comes after British Prime Minister Theresa May announced that Moscow was highly likely to blame. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov responded to the accusations, saying Moscow would cooperate with the investigation only if it receives a sample of the alleged nerve agent.
Russia is not guilty. Russia is ready to cooperate in the framework of the Chemical Weapons Convention only if the United Kingdom takes the pains to fulfill their legal obligations according to the same document.
Russia has summoned the British ambassador in Moscow over the case. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, at least 40 people were killed over the past few days in several villages in the northeastern region of Ituri after ethnic clashes broke out between Hema cattle herders and Lindu farmers. Officials reported that fighting broke out over access to land and that dozens of people have been killed since December. This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. Kenya's Red Cross Society said Tuesday that at least 2,000 Ethiopians have crossed into Kenya seeking refuge. According to reports, soldiers in the Oromia region reportedly killed 9 civilians and injured 12 others because of faulty intelligence. Tens of thousands of people were also internally displaced because of the failed attack. The Ethiopian military disarmed 5 soldiers over the operation and said it would launch a full investigation. Also in Ethiopia, state media have reported that at least 38 people were killed after a bus plunged into a ravine in the mountainous Amhara northern region. A further 10 people were injured in the accident. A regional police commander said that mostly students were involved in the crash and that the cause of the accident remains unclear. And now in sports, Germany's Football Association has stacked Steffi Jones as coach of Germany's women's football team. Jones had taken over as coach of the women's national team following the 2016 Rio Olympic Games. Horst Rubisch will oversee the team on an interim basis. For more news and information, visit our website at dw.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
You're listening to Africa Link. I'm Eunice Wanjiru.
And I'm Isaac Mugabe. And we welcome our users on Facebook, DW Africa. I can see you're already debating on the topic, U.S. Tillerson and all the African stories. Go ahead. and be right there. Anyway, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has welcomed the commitment of the Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta and opposition leader Raila Odinga to working towards national unity. According to local reports, Secretary General in a statement pledged to work with the government and people of Kenya to consolidate peace, stability and development in Kenya. The two Kenyan leaders last week appeared in public for the first time since the disputed August 2017 elections and announced a reconciliation plan. DW's Andrew Wasike has been up and about in the capital, Nairobi, to find out what people think about the new marriage of convenience, if you will, between Uhuru Kenyatta and Raila Odinga. Let's listen in.
He knows where he is taking us. There is nobody who will think of any other person apart from Raila. When he says left, we'll go left. If he says right, we'll go right, because I believe that whatever he says is the right thing.
I think first and foremost, I want to congratulate His Excellency President Raila Amolo Odinga and President Uhuru Kenyatta for coming in one and to work together. According to me, what I want is, and what Kenyans expect, is reforms.
The merger between Raila and Uhuru Kenyatta, that was the best thing that happens to the entire Kenya. And I think we are acknowledging the efforts of the president and our people's president, because that was a talk between the two presidents. So we are telling Kenyans, let us be united.
Those were voices of some Kenyans reacting to the new reconciliation efforts by President Uhuru Kenyatta and opposition leader Raila Odinga. For many ordinary Kenyans, it's time for the country to come together for the sake of peace and stability. However, supporters of the opposition coalition, the National Super Alliance, NASA, claim that the opposition leader Raila Odinga has betrayed their cause.
My name is Augustine Onyango. I'm very much disappointed with Raila Amolo Odinga, because to me it seems that Raila has recognized Uhuru as the president.
He has betrayed his integrity, he has betrayed us, and we are not happy actually.
Concerning this issue, Raila Amolo Odinga has disappointed us, supporters of NASA. Those guys are also cowards.
Mark Bichachi, a political analyst, told me that the deal was a win-win for both sides.
Time it has rejuvenated Raila Odinga's profile in one key manner. He has rejuvenated himself as a statesman, as someone who is willing to abandon political ambition for the sake of the nation. Now, what he can do with that political capital is pretty much everything. He can possibly run again in 2022. He can possibly position himself to be the Mandela of this nation. So the reinvention of Raila Odinga is amazing, but the legacy of Uhuru Kenyatta is equally amazing.
Part of the deal will see the opposition play a role in decision-making and share responsibility. On the other hand, the government has agreed to drop charges against leading opposition politicians and reinstate their security detail.
Andrew Wasike reporting from Nairobi, and we asked you on our Facebook page, DW Africa, what you think about this so-called marriage of convenience between Uhuru Kenyatta and Raila Odinga. Eunice?
Yes, of course, there have been lots of comments coming out from this, and Mzee Nyabondo Vitas Mhariwe is saying, the decision made by Mr. Uhuru and Mr. Raila was good for the nation of Kenya and Africa at large. Any confusion arising from poorly played politics in any country affects every citizen in that very country, directly or indirectly.
Yes, I can see the debate is gaining, you know, steam. Okibo Lak says, I'm shocked by this and I'm really proud that Africa is turning a new eye on unity instead of violence. Unity is our only tool to making Africa great again.
And Marco Duck says, I think they have recognized that as leaders in the country, it's better now and historically for them to have common agenda for their country after the election, which have almost set their nation into a blast, which is always lacking in African politics for a long time.
Yeah, Prince Philip, I think he's taking it a little bit personal here. He says they're just angry because they wanted Kenya to burn for them to come and take our resources. Keep those comments flowing. And we'll come back to them whenever we can.
Now, as Isaac mentioned earlier on, there's another burning topic. U.S. President Donald Trump has fired his Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, the biggest shakeup of the Trump cabinet so far. The announcement came just a few hours after Tillerson returned from a trip to Africa that was apparently cut short. A White House official said Trump wanted to have a new team in place ahead of upcoming challenges. DW's Patrick Grosser has this report.
It came out of nothing. And in his usual unofficial style, President Donald Trump made the announcement on Twitter that he had replaced Rex Tillerson with the head of the CIA, Mike Pompeo. And this is how Trump summed up his working relations with Tillerson before he boarded Air Force One.
Rex and I have been talking about this for a long time. We got along actually quite well, but we disagreed on things. When you look at the Iran deal, I think it's terrible. I guess he thought it was okay. I wanted to either break it or do something, and he felt a little bit differently.
Rex Tillerson hasn't commented so far on his firing, but Undersecretary of State Steve Goldstein wrote on Twitter that Trump did not speak to Tillerson this morning and is unaware of the reason, but grateful for the opportunity to serve. Speaking to reporters before heading to California, President Trump also talked about his new Secretary of State.
I think Mike Pompeo will be a truly great Secretary of State. I have total confidence in him. With Mike Pompeo, we have a very similar thought process. I think it's going to go very well.
The new CIA head and the first woman in the office will be Gina Haspel, Pompeo's current deputy. The relationship between Trump and Tillerson had been stressed for months. Trump publicly undercut Tillerson's diplomatic initiatives numerous times, including earlier this week when the former Secretary of State's comments about Russia appeared to be at odds with those of the White House. The President and the Secretary of State didn't agree on many policies, apparently Trump's major reason to throw him out.
That was Patrick Grosser reporting.
Now, Obre Rabbi Enan, resident senior fellow at the Africa Center at the Atlantic Council, has been telling Africa Link the implications of Rex Tillerson being sacked by his boss, the U.S. President Donald Trump, to the U.S.-Africa relations, bearing in mind that he just returned from a trip in East and West Africa.
In his prior career, Exxon had worked in Africa quite a bit, and so we had a Secretary of State in his personal capacity who understood the region quite well, had traveled extensively in the region, and had established relationships in the region. And now we're going away from that. So we have to think that that's a negative development, losing a secretary that has that much past experience in the region.
That was Obre Rabbi, a non-resident senior fellow, talking about Tillerson sacking to the U.S.-Africa relations. Now we have many comments coming in.
Yes, very many comments coming in there, Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And Odo Obina is the first one here we're going to read. He's saying he was sacked after visiting Nigeria President Muhammad Buhari, and I bless God for that.
Ede Chinedu Ede says, I bet the next appointed person will not come to Nigeria. I mean, why are they linking the sacking to their country?
Maybe just because the trip was cut short while he was there and then going back. And anyway, Julius Otis is saying, America first. Isn't that what the POTUS Donald Trump said? I tell you, by sacking Rex Tillerson, he's making America great again.
Okay. Ozobakia says, if this is Trump's gift to Nigeria, we strongly reject it. Why didn't Trump just let the guy get home first before the axe came in?
And Paul Animoon is saying, quite simple. He doesn't like Nigeria or Nigerians. I think he's talking about President Trump. The question is, did he not consult Trump before going? Okay, this is now Tillerson. I like Trump because of his strong stand to what he believes in and how he cares less on what others may think when making a decision. That's Paul's comment.
Now, we have some comments coming in live on our Facebook page, DW Africa. And, of course, the debate is gaining steam. Prince Ibrahim says, Rex Tillerson being sacked suddenly by President Trump simply highlights Trump's autocratic leadership style.
And there are still some who are still thinking that Buhari is the one who caused him to be sacked. Dochi is saying, he's laughing actually, ha ha ha, saying Buhari is bad luck. He meets Buhari before he was sacked.
Paige Chichester says, also on our Facebook page, just a comment coming in here, filling the administration with the best people and firing them within a year. I wish more people in the administration and in the government in general would resign to protest to this national embarrassment. I think, well, Rex Tillerson is the 36th official in the Trump administration to be fired or to resign.
Well, thank you for your comments.
Welcome back once again to the program, coming to you live from our studios in Bonn, Germany. I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Eunice Wanjiro. Coming up in the next 15 minutes, we will be hearing a group of tech-savvy youths in Ghana who are helping farmers to protect their grain harvest from moisture.
Basically, what we do is that we manufacture affordable, easy-to-use tech solutions for the agri sector. It shows the moisture content. Yes, so it uses the temperature and then the relative humidity to calculate the moisture content.
And we would like to hear what you have to say about that story. How are the youth helping farmers, you know, to prevent moisture from affecting their grain harvest? But before all that, it has been 5 years now since the first Latin American pontiff, Jorge Mario Bergoglio, ascended to the papacy, and the press has been full of positive assessments. After taking full control of the Vatican, Pope Francis now, as he's referred to, made it his mission to tear down the many walls that divided the Vatican from the outside world. From taking selfies with young people, Pope Francis made sweeping reforms like communion of divorced people and acceptance of gay people. He also advocated powerfully for migrants and the environment. But how are such reforms seen in Africa? To find out more, I spoke to Palmer Bako. He is the Archbishop of Accra. Take a listen to this interesting interview.
I, as the Archbishop of Accra, I am definitely impressed by his lifestyle, his simplicity, his approachability, his availability to the ordinary person. I am impressed by the fact that he is championing the cause of the poor, the marginalized, the migrants, the suffering people.
Recently, we've seen more involvement of the Catholic Church in politics or the running of state affairs. A case study is in Uganda and the DRC. Is it that the Catholic Church is trying to reposition itself in the eyes of its followers, given the fact that also the Pope himself has been speaking about key issues affecting the world, like the war in Syria?
I would like to say that Jesus Christ has told us to be involved in politics. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So it means we must be there where the action is taking place and we must bring about long-lasting transformation. And I believe it is not this Pope who has been political. Pope St. John Paul II got himself very much involved in the political leadership of the world.
So, in other words, when politicians say that the church is meddling in state affairs and it should concentrate on only religious matters, they are wrong.
They are very wrong because we are members of the state. And whatever is decided by the politicians in the state affects us, our well-being, and it affects our parishioners. It affects our church members. So they cannot say we are meddling in what is our right. We are members of the state. We pay taxes. We must ask how our taxes are being used. We live on the road. We must make sure the roads are properly being taken care of. We get sick. We must make sure that our money is being used for health care and the rest of it. We have security issues. We are members of the state, and therefore we must be political.
That was the Archbishop of Accra in Ghana, Palmer Bako. And for more on this story, you can also visit our website, dw.com/Africa. Now, Eunice, you've been listening to the man of God talking about how the church also has a role to play in politics because they, I mean, do so much, like, you know, they pay taxes, they have the clergy.
Yes. And we also asked a question on Facebook page, should religious leaders play a role in political decisions?
Mm-hmm. And what did people say?
People are talking and Emma...
Our followers, actually, our Facebook users.
Yes, our listeners. They're saying Emma Kulioda Brain is asking, why not? Are they not citizens? A pastor is a shepherd and the Bible says they will have to give an account of their flock. Churches are made of citizens, but policies affect citizens and therefore affect the church.
Yes, and of course, the church's growing influence in African politics is a story that we've been covering. We covered it when it happened in the Democratic Republic of Congo. We've covered it when it happened in Uganda. You remember, Eunice?
Yes.
And of course, it's a story that we've been covering. Now, God Divine, our usual follower on Facebook, says, of course, they should. Politics is human.
And Paul Annie Moon is saying, an open secret, it shouldn't be debated at all.
George Sandals asks, where can you not find political prices? It's nature. Tell us more what you think, whether the church should be playing a leading role in politics. And of course, keep the debate flowing on our Facebook page, DW Africa. We'll be back right after this.
Africa on the move.
Now, every farmer's desire is to have a bumper harvest, which they can store for sale or for personal use. For farmers growing grain crops like maize, rice and millet, determining the moisture content of their grains before storage is a major challenge. Due to this, they lose a lot of their harvest. Now, some young Ghanaians have come up with a device that is to help farmers in their country determine accurately the moisture level in their grains to know if to store or dry for more hours. Isaac Kaleji in Accra, Ghana brings us this story.
Ghana's main economic activity is agriculture. Farmers cultivate land to grow their crops, not only for family use, but for business purposes. Grains such as rice, maize, millet, among others, dominate crops cultivated in rural Ghana. Storage of these grains is, however, the most important issue for farmers, as many of them lose their produce due to poor storage systems. The best moisture content required in grains before storage is between 12 to 15%, but most rural farmers store their grains with moisture content of over 20%, exposing their produce to molds. The problem is that farmers lack the needed technology to determine the right moisture content in their grains before storing, either for replanting, sale, or domestic consumption. That's where the group Sesi Technologies comes in.
Basically, what we do is that we manufacture affordable, easy-to-use tech solutions for the agri sector.
That's Isaac Sesi, co-founder of the group, made up of young Ghanaians who have developed a new technology called the Green Meat. This is a grain testing machine that helps farmers accurately tell how much moisture is in their grains so they know whether it is ready for storage or it has to be dried some more. Sesi explains how this device works.
Our device has a probe which has a sensor at the tip. So you can simply push the probe into the bag and wait for a few minutes and the reading will display on the screen. It shows the moisture content. Yes, so it uses the temperature and then the relative humidity to calculate the moisture content.
Sesi and his colleagues launched this technology after a course project back in school while investigating into post-harvest losses. With the support of the Meltwater Entrepreneurial School of Technology in Accra, he and his other three colleagues launched their business model last year. Tony Bebley is a Ghanaian farmer in eastern Ghana. He is excited about this new device as he hopes it will help deal with current challenges with storage in Ghana.
For you to get that specific water moisture that gets out of the maize is really difficult. But I think that with this machine, it is really going to go a highway for farmers to know that, okay, when I lose 30% and I come to storage, or I'll lose another 20 or 10, it's really going to be great for us because we are losing so much.
One needs about $100 to access one of the devices, and Sesi hopes with the support of the German organization GIZ and other partners, the cost of producing the device can be reduced so farmers can afford it. Sesi says his group plans to use technology to solve other pressing issues affecting agriculture in Ghana and Africa as a whole.
Isaac Kaleji reporting from Accra, Ghana. Now, Charles Ongole John in Kampala, Uganda, is commenting on this topic and he's saying, I hail the government and students of Ghana for their innovation and attachment of importance given to education. In my country, Uganda, the Museveni regime long abandoned public schools in favor of private operators and profit. Well, I think this is actually a good idea from the Ghanaian students who are doing this.
Yes, thanks indeed, Charles Ongole, for that comment. And just bring you to speed, U.S. President Donald Trump has fired his Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, shortly after he returned from his tour in Africa. And the story is developing. The UK's health secretary, the UK, the United Kingdom has said it will support the new Secretary of State. And of course, also Republican US Senator Richard Burr, he's the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, has said he looks forward to supporting Gina Haspel's nomination to be the first female director of the Central Intelligence Agency and ensuring its consideration without delay. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Focus Europe.
And of course, it's time for Focus on Europe, a segment that highlights big topics in Europe which are related to topics that we cover in Africa. In today's segment, when sexual harassment became a global headline with the Harvey Weinstein revelations in the US, stories poured forth about horrible abuse in the halls of the EU Parliament too. From Brussels, Terry Schultz looks into whether the situation has gotten better for women.
One of Terry Reintke's plans for marking International Women's Day was to hand over a petition to European Parliament President Antonio Tajani, signed by more than 119,000 people, calling for zero tolerance against harassment in the legislature, be it structural, sexual, physical, or psychological, the petition said. Although Tajani had strongly condemned the situation and declared his support for reform, he declined the German lawmaker's request to accept the petition on Women's Day, saying he wouldn't be in town. Reintke was disappointed, but not deterred. She's still hoping last October was a turning point, when in the face of numerous victims coming forward with tales of abuse, she and other parliamentarians stood up in a special session, holding signs with the now iconic hashtag, #MeToo.
Me too. I have been sexually harassed, just like millions of other women in the European Union. And I think it's about time that we very clearly say that we should not be ashamed, but that the perpetrators should be ashamed. Because sexual harassment is such a widespread problem all over the European Union. And we will need legislative steps in order to combat this problem.
A parliamentary resolution was passed in October, but it's not legally binding. Among the petition's demands are mandatory sexual harassment training all the way up to the MEP level. Currently, it's voluntarily, and few lawmakers show up, as well as a complaint review committee made up of non-EP experts, so victims don't feel intimidated to come forward. At the moment, anyone filing a complaint has to defend it in front of colleagues, sparking fears of repercussions. Having more female decision makers may help avoid the situation where the balance of power is so skewed, where women almost always have less authoritative jobs. At the European Council, Christina Galak is trying to change that. As the gender equality advisor, Galak tracks whether the council is living up to legal requirements to engage women fully. Short answer, it's not.
Women apply much less to jobs, to management jobs, than men. When they apply, the rate of success is higher. So they are already prepared. They just have to feel prepared to go for it.
Activist Tanya Gohlert suffered sexual harassment for years at one job, despite her many complaints to superiors. Gohlert went on to become a driving force behind the 2017 Lights for Rights Women's March in Brussels. Gohlert says the world needs feminism more than ever, though it's often misunderstood.
People equated with burning our bras. It's so much more deeper and nuanced than that. And we're talking about systemic violence here. How do we get people to realize this has really become a deep part of our culture, right? And how to change that?
Terry Reintke agrees that's the mission, as she's still hearing about sexual harassment in the European Parliament, despite the new spotlight on it.
Obviously, there is still people who think that this, you know, was merely a media hype and it's going to go away and then things will go back to normal. And I really want to make sure that this is not how this is going to end up, that we will really make a step forward, that we will have something that we can refer to, that we change the structures, and that there will be consequences for perpetrators and that there will be support mechanisms for victims of sexual harassment.
Goalposts for Women's Day 2019.
Terry Shields reporting. And that's the end of Africa Link today. I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Eunice Onjiro.
Bye for now.